movie nerd. Can you dig it? In movie nerds we trust. What do you put your trust in? Your currency, gold, or the knowledge? The people are coming at you right now. Movie nerds that think they know one thing more than you do. Just one more thing, one more thing, one more thing that you do that makes them a nerd. Oh, sweet and sour.
Welcome to A Movie Nerds We Trust, the movie recommendation podcast for nights when you're not quite sure what to watch. I'm your host, Christopher James, and before we get started, you guys know I'm a comedian, but I'm also a fan of comedy, so wherever you're at locally, be sure to check out your local venues for comedy, be sure to support comedy, and if you're in Utah, July 21st, Comedy and Other Opinions, hosted by Jason Harvey, is going to be at the U of U with Barbara Gray from the Lady to Lady podcast. July 22nd, Barbara Gray is going to be headlining at Sandy Station. That's 8:30 p.m. That's going to be $15 at the door. It's going to be featuring past guests Christopher Stevenson, Jason Harvey, and Natasha Maurer. July 23rd is Big Z Tavern in Ogden at 9 p.m. with Joker's Gone Wild, David Young, Elizabeth Church, and yours truly. So if you guys are available for those shows here locally, definitely check them out. Guys, I'm really excited for this episode. It's episode number 86. Quincy is not here. She's doing some film stuff, so I am hosting solo, but we have not one, not two, but three guests, ladies and gentlemen. Three guests. To my right, from Joker's Gone Wild, Mr. Kevin Gillingham. Hello, sir.
Hi, everybody.
What the fuck?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, hey, guys. Sorry.
To my left, Marcus Whistler from Joker's Gone Wild, taking a shitty selfie from what I'm assuming.
I think he's poking his own eye in the selfie.
He's like, I fucking look like an asshole.
Hello. Hi, Marcus. Hi. And to my far left, Mr. David Young. Sir, how are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to have you guys on. We've been planning this for a bit,
a long
yeah.
fucking time, yeah.
Fuck, man.
Oh, what's the language rules?
Are you
rules?
Still doing the Snapchat?
It's
you're poking it like a retarded kid poking his dick into the wall. You know that, right?
Hey, like I'm Porky's.
It's supposed to like flip from like POV.
Sorry,
like...
not retarded, mentally challenged. I apologize.
Peace okay, no. My nephew forgives you.
In this case, I think it's accurate to say retarded.
Yeah, no, there's just no language barrier. You say what the fuck, shit, ass, cocksucker.
There we go. I like just, it. That's my style right there. No
there's
filter.
One word we can't say.
The N-word.
I was going to say the M-word.
Mother?
Maybe. No, Mike. M.
Oh, Mike M? Oh, yeah.
Silly bastards.
Yeah. He is, of course, the other member of Joker's Gone Wild. But
the dirty Mexican.
It's okay. Throw make a it. D word in front of it. We're good.
Ah, yes, the DM.
Is he doing his part to man the front of the Home Depot, or what's he?
He usually works the back door.
Right. Anyways. So,
kind of kicks you out of the back door of the Home Depot.
Anyway, so before we get started, I want to introduce you guys. First off, you, KG, and Marcus, you guys run the Joker's Gone Wild comedy troupe. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is our fourth year, actually.
Fourth year.
Oh, shit,
first
yeah.
day show coming up. Kind of actually, kind of what this is, kind of like an impromptu, not impromptu, but makeshift, I guess, birthday show coming up. Because we didn't really do our June birthday show.
We should have been. So we're just going to keep going, letting people know that it is our... Fourth
yeah,
year.
Shit. When I first got back, I think I saw Mike and Marcus at Wise Guys, and they were telling me about it a little bit. When we ended up drinking those beers in the parking lot of Trader Joe's that one time.
You guys drank beers in Trader Joe's?
Parking lot?
High class. High
Oh, Mary and Joseph, I remember that. And we did that.
Mary and Joseph.
I was like, hey, let's keep hanging out. Like, all right. And we had to get you on time to catch the tracks or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then... I just felt so unfulfilled.
Wait. You had to
get
him.
Because you left us.
You had to get him on time somewhere, and Mike was with you guys?
Yeah.
Well, I was with Mike, so there you go.
So did you have to be somewhere the next week? Because
he was on Mexican time?
He gives a new definition to CPT, yes.
First off, you have no room to talk because, of course, you and Mike fucking two or 3 years ago now.
Two years ago,
you fuckers were supposed to host my roast.
Totally.
We went to Vegas. You bailed out. No, I'm not done. Shut the fuck up. I've been waiting 2 years to do this. Yeah, no, you cocksucker. You guys were supposed to show up to host my roast. You put my poster up. You drew dicks on it. You drew a swastika on my forehead.
Seems like they did their part.
Roasted you. I mean, effectively.
You know what? I ended up making my mother stand by the poster and took a picture of it.
That makes it all worth it.
I still have that poster, by the way.
It's not in here on display with all your awesome art?
I haven't found a frame for it yet.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to get you a frame. In my defense, I'm pretty sure Mike was driving. I don't remember. We woke up in Vegas that morning and started drinking.
Fear and loathing, baby.
Well, it was his Jeep, huh? Yeah, because it had air conditioning. Oh, I don't remember. Well, anyway, in my defense, we woke up in Vegas and started drinking.
It's okay. As part of the Joker's Gone Wild Guild.
You know, the Guild.
I showed up and on time and yeah. probably early.
You know what? I actually called. Representative. Who, I want to say, was Steve McAnally there?
No.
Somebody
no,
was there
Paul Dwayne.
Because I called in. Is this going to come across right? Fuck it, I don't care. I called in and I was like, here are my roast jokes. If you can find a way to plug this recording into the sound system and play them. I called in, I had all of it.
No, was for McAnally. That was McAnally's roast.
Was it McAnally's roast?
Yeah, because I made cut out faces of you on Paul.
Yeah,
and I had an iPod recording, and I had a CD, and nothing worked because their audio was down.
Marcus not only came to the show and did the show, he broke a guitar on stage in my honor.
That's fucking awesome. That's
yeah.
Was it broken to begin with and you just finished it off?
Well, in all fairness, it's one of those you went off the Las Vegas Strip for throwing darts at a balloon.
But
I kept it 4 years because I fully intended on making it functional.
Did it just need to be tuned?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is the best thing it could have ever done. So thank you, hashtag CJ.
Hashtag CJ jokes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, jinxies.
While. Oh, shit.
Now we have to kiss for a minute.
And somebody's got to suck each other's dicks.
Oh, savior.
Just the tips.
But you guys have been doing that for 4 years. You guys have done a lot of awesome shows, a lot at the Fifth where we had the roast at. And you guys have done the Weber State University radio show quite a bit. I remember doing that with you guys.
And our main contact there fizzled out. He graduated, and, you know, go figure. And
who goes to college to graduate? What an asshole.
Right? Especially Weber sucker. State.
What a bitch.
Was that Austin or Dane?
Both.
They both graduated?
Well, I don't know.
I can see Dane graduating,
Dane
but Austin?
Austin graduated, and he's got a gal. But that fizzled altogether anyways. But, 4 years together as a group. 4 years, you are homeroom at the Fifth and Bountiful. We got our big show, which you're on, Christopher James and David Young, who's right here. Say hello.
What's up?
Could you say it without an accent?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. So at the Big Z Tavern, which is in Ogden off of 21st Street.
Now, correcting that venue's cherry.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. That's going to be the first ever comedy show at that venue, correct?
It is.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that'll be fun, breaking new ground.
Trying to bring a little bit of Salt Lake up to Ogden, even though Ogden is better than Salt Lake.
Okay, we're trying to dumb it down. We're going to dumb it down a bit.
Which is you.
I don't know that. I think they are both sixes in how much they suck.
Well, you guys had the About Time show going on for a little bit.
That wasn't us. Okay. That was Josh Nufrio and Travis Rasmussen.
Yeah,
they were running that show at the About Time there in the Newgate Mall. That was a fun show.
Oh yeah.
The most unfortunate thing about it was an all ages venue.
Well,
so I got in trouble for saying cunt a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
oh, wow.
I mean, I don't want to say that I did this, but I think I inspired Jim Jefferies to say cunt as much as he does.
I was going to say, in England, that is a term of endearment in England. So
if
you don't say cunt in your comedy set in England, you're not going to get paid.
They had to take me off of a show or two. They're like, we need a person to do the show. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And they're like, well, see, the thing is, the owner said, you say cunt too much in front of the 7-year-olds eating dinner, so...
You know what's weird about that venue? As I remember when I did, like, my 30-minute headlining set. I think it was my first headlining set. I was drunk and I was a little stoned. And I look out, and then there's just people walking by in the mall, and I'm just like...
That's a weird vibe, right?
It is. And the funny thing about that venue is it's an all-age venue, but minors have to be accompanied by their adult. Legal guardians or their parents. So therefore, that in mind, knowing what establishment it is, but probably not in Utah because we don't understand what a pub
Yurter?
Is.
What's Yurter? Where's right. that?
No, in what? That term.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, not Yurter. But yeah, my turn.
I thought I said Yurter.
I thought you were saying you were trying to say Utah, but you.
Well, right now, Utah is a Yurter. We'll come back to
okay.
it.
Okay.
But so if they bring them in, it's like you're bringing your child in to a place where
to a bar.
You don't have to buy food to get booze.
Yeah,
they one of the three bastions left in Utah where you can get booze without food.
That similar thing like happened to me one time. I was doing the Ed Fringe, Edinburgh Fringe Festival, right? Came in and I saw that the crowd had a bunch of kids in it. And I was like, ooh, how's this going to work? And I asked the promoter, and he was a real dick about it. He was like, oh, you know, hey, if you haven't been doing comedy long enough to know your crowd and blah, 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 you know, then you shouldn't even be up here anyway. He gave me a real smart answer. And I was like, well, then I'm going to burn your show to the ground. So so I got up, and I was like, hey, kiddies, how are you? He was like a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old. I was like, oh, so we're going to tell some jokes. So, you know, what's a pirate's favorite letter? And they go, R. And I said, you might think it's that, but it's the C they love. And then I said, and that's the only clean joke you're going to get. And I commenced to do my hardest way inappropriate material in front of them.
So what you're telling me is across the pond, cunt is a term of endearment.
Yes.
But dick means they're a fucking dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But their parents loved it. The Scots, God bless them. They drink whiskey and they love some dark comedy. So they bring their 8-year-olds out to a comedy show and say, hey, got to be exposed to it sometimes.
Got to teach them, exactly.
Grow up someday, laddie.
Well, David, tell us a little bit about yourself as well. How did you get started? We've been focusing on these guys, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Crazy enough, I got started doing comedy in Iraq. I was deployed there and always been making my buddies laugh and stuff like that. So they were like, dude, come on, you should do stand-up. And I had never really done it before, but I had some funny songs. I had some other stuff. So I got up, did this 10 minutes of stand-up in Iraq, and it went really well. And I was
you didn't
like, wow.
bomb?
Boom! No, I didn't.
Sorry, had to do it.
And that is the best joke.
I was about to explode. I was like,
he's holding it back for the moment. Yeah, so
I thought you had a shit.
I loved it. I had a good time. And so then I went back and went to the States for a little bit, did some open mics and things, and then I got sent to Hungary. And when I was in Hungary, nobody speaks English. So not a lot of options to do comedy. But I was writing jokes, writing material, and hooked up with this British promoter who moved to Budapest. And he realized there was this gap in the market. There's all these expats, Brits, and all these other people that speak English that live in these big cities, Budapest, Vienna, Prague. And so he started bringing comedians over, big name comedians from Australia and England and stuff like that. And I came up to him. I was like, hey, look, dude, just give me 5 minutes on stage. Let me get on stage. He let me do it, liked it. And he was like, well, you want to be my regular middle between these opener and headliners I bring. So I got to start doing once a month. I would do Budapest, Bratislava, Vienna, Prague with these big name comedians or whatever. And so that went really good. I was learning a lot, picking these guys' brains. And then I got orders to England, which worked out perfectly because then I was able to pick up the phone and go, hey, guys, remember me? I featured for you, blah, blah. Can you get me into the scene? You know, you've seen me do stuff. So they hooked me up, and I didn't have to open mic it for a bunch of years in London or whatever. I was able to jump right into the comedy circuit and work from there. So did that for the last 5 years, and now I just moved back to the States, and I'm trying to crack the Utah scene, I guess.
Nice.
Pretty awesome. Fantastic fast track story, actually.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I can't wait to see the Lifetime movie about it.
Who's going to get raped and who's going to cry?
Oh, gross.
I call dibs on being raped.
Then you're going to cry right after. So, fun fact for the listeners, KG is actually one of the first comics I met when I first started out, like 10 years ago.
Many moons ago,
yeah. Him and Mike Gim kind of took me under their tattered, fucked up wing,
and
I guess.
You know, the weirdest thing is Mike M was the first person I met because my buddy Jeff Sivkovic kind of nudged me into comedy. He's like, oh, you know, you're always being funny. You're a smartass. You should go do comedy.
Is he a Muppet?
No, apparently, okay. Yeah. Apparently. I just needed an ass to put my hand up. It was weird.
Sweet.
So I went to Grounds for Coffee and I did an open mic. And, you know, I never done it before, didn't know what I was in for. I had all this shit written down. And Mike happened to be walking out or walking around or he stepped back in, whatever the fuck. And he just saw me up there telling jokes. I was doing this thing that I had written at the time called a hate list. Surprise. But it was very not racist. It was just things that I hated. And it was very basic. In fact, I've been thinking about dusting it off a little bit lately and kind of putting the boots to it and seeing what I can do with it. But so that was what he saw me. And I was the only other comic, quote unquote, there that night. It was my first time ever. And he invited me out to do a show. I went out and did the show. And I didn't know that it was a competition kind of a thing. And I, quote unquote, won it. And then I got to headline at, what was the name of it? It used to be Lou Monaco's there in where Riverdale meets Main Street in Roy. It's currently a CVS. It was a sports bar and grill. Gosh darn, I can't
think of it. Yeah. Lou Monaco's over there in Roy.
It used to be a strip club back in like the 70s and 80s.
It was Go-Go Girls back
and
in
then
the
it became a sports bar. Oh, Sports Addiction. That was the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I had my name on the fucking marquee there. It was so cool because it was like my second time doing comedy. And my name's on this marquee. And I was like, yeah, this is fucking cool. And I invited like everyone from my workout. And I had like 40 minutes of jokes, but they were all written down. I didn't have shit memorized. And I'm, you know, allegedly headlining, but I'm just reading all these notes. That I had, and they were all typed up and bold here, italic there, underlined here.
40 minutes?
Oh, dude, I was just typing whatever. I didn't have anything honed, nothing.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
And everybody from my day job came out to see me. All the swing shift guys, day shift guys, graveyard guys. And the shit went wrong in that building that night. All the machines broke. None of the maintenance guys were answering their phone because they were there watching me tell jokes drunk as shit. And it was fun. That was kind of my first few steps into the world of comedy.
Yeah,
it was weird. Yeah, so Mike was the first guy I met.
Oh, okay.
And then we were some of the first guys you met. So
we met
at
West Valley Wise Guys open mic, and you guys came up, and you guys were like, "Hey, you're pretty good. You know, we should get together sometime. We got a show." And I, at the time, I was not even 21; I was 20. So my first show was a show with you and Mike M at a bar that you guys snuck me into.
Was that the Downtown Hookah Lounge?
No, that was way. That was much later.
I was gonna say
that was what got me to quit comedy.
That show was so fucking brutal.
Oh my god! But you guys snuck me in, and you're like, "Yeah, don't worry about it. We're gonna sneak you in to do this show." And then it was, I can't remember the bar. I think it was, you know, the aptly named Fifth.
Oh well, yeah. Could have been. It's one of those things where maybe I shouldn't say this out loud. But I've learned that if you are performing at a venue, the odds of you being ID'd upon entrance decrease significantly.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see your ID? Oh, I'm on the show. Oh, okay, come right in. What can we get you? It works out great.
Yeah. And then, of course, the aptly talked about hookah show was my first show that I was actually setting up. And that just went to shit because the guy who worked there who was setting it up, unbeknownst to me, was quitting and didn't do shit. He kept fucking up on the flyer. We get there. The club had no idea what the fuck was going on. They're like, what are you talking about, a comedy show? They had to go to get mics from next door. They moved us upstairs. They gave us a $70 bar tab, which you and Mike fucking destroyed by yourself.
I think I had that done in like 6 seconds. Yeah. Well, and the thing was, is I managed to fish in some. There was a Santa pub crawl.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's
I
right.
I fished in a couple Santas. I said, "Hey, Santas, you want to come inside? I got some gifts for you. There's a comedy show going on." And he's like, "Excuse me." He's like, "Well, what do you mean? What are you, a comedy show?" I was like, "Just come in. I'll give you a couple shots of whiskey." And they're like, "Oh, okay. We'll come in and see your comedy show if you're gonna give us drinks." So, but yeah, we wrecked that bar tab quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Mike was smoking joints upstairs. No, he wasn't. Somebody was. I don't think it was Mike. I think it was
somebody
Steve.
You guys brought. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I remember fucking Mike was hammered, and he kept putting his face in my, at the time, girlfriend's breasts. And he just kept, you know, trying to put his face in there. And then he kept saying, "Man, you're lucky. This is a great titties, bro. It's good."
And the tangled web we weave about that is Christopher James's girlfriend at the time is my buddy Guy's wife's sister.
Yeah.
We didn't know all of these things at the time. I don't even know. Well, no, I knew Guy back then.
You really can't fit Kevin Bacon into there. I'm just sorry. You had about
24
degrees.
It was really strange. Like, we didn't know this until like a year or two
ago. She was there that night, too.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the other thing. Yeah, I didn't know her. And then later on, she ended up marrying my friend because they were madly in love with each other and found each other awesome, and that's what they like.
And also got knocked up.
So oh, that, yeah, the baby.
And then, of
babies
course...
Babies are the worst.
And then, of course, Mike was so drunk because I decided I will go up last. So drunk that when I was up on stage, he... stumbles, and I mean this, he stumbled up to the stage and put his mouth on my nipple and started to say, these aren't as good as your girlfriend's, but I'll, I'll still put my mouth on them.
The sad thing is I can believe that definitely happened. I've seen
it was
a lot of questionable
show
things.
Because I was supposed to get a bunch of comics on there. A couple of them bailed. Then, like, people were starting to show up. We didn't have anything set up. Fucking...
Yeah, no,
it was
mics,
I had people
no.
from work and fucking then you told I didn't know this till years later, but you told me that Mike ended up stealing a hookah from that place.
Yeah, we that night when we left we were good and drunk.
Screw that baby.
My buddy I believe I think I'm 99.9% certain my good friend Andrew Heald was at that show. He has recently been sent to live back across the pond. We won't get into that, but he was with us when we were leaving. Mike stole a hookah. He was angry about something, and
probably because of the sweet titties I have. That's probably what it was.
He was trying to get the taste of your titties out of his mouth with the hookah, the sweet hashish. Unfortunately, hashtag CJ jokes isn't a hashish flavor yet.
Fuck you.
So he took the hookah, and when we were leaving, he went to smash it on the ground, and when he did, he threw it. With such force, / he was so drunk that when he threw it, he started somersaulting, and it shattered and exploded everywhere, and he's somersaulting. We're right there by the TV channel place that was right across the street. I think it's KSL5. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then on the way home, it was back when I had that Lincoln. Oh, the thing was so sexy. And I was driving it home, and next thing I know, I kind of woke up. As we were changing lanes, and I was like, oh, hey, guys, how long have I been asleep for?
Hot Rod Lincoln.
So, needless to say, I shouldn't DD very often, but I do-ish.
And then I took a nice little break from comedy, and I think you were the first person I hit up when I came back, too.
I believe so.
Yeah. I was like, hey, man, I'm coming back. I'm coming back strong. And ever since, it's like, Jesus, that's almost 4 years now. That I came back, and then I've done a couple shows with you guys since then at the 5th.
Yep, couple
about
judges.
Time. It's good. It's kind of good to come full circle again, you know?
It's weird, huh?
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah, but it's weird. I don't even, like, I didn't even remember, like, the first time that all of us actually hung out, but I remember getting super inebriated, and I remember you guys just saying, it's a party, just have fun.
Yeah, that's life, baby.
That'll happen, especially hanging out with Mike.
Yeah.
It's the best part of hanging out with comics, dude. It's just like, dude, let's ride this crazy fucking teacups. Let's go.
I wish we had teacups.
I always feel like I could give up comedy, but I could never give up comedians. You know what I mean? Like just hanging out with fucking funny people is the best.
Well, I think KG and Mike and now Marcus have probably been like some of the longest friends I've had in comedy.
Whoa.
Some of them has fizzled out. Yeah.
Friends or acquaintances?
Friends, we held hands earlier. We're friends. I don't hold everybody's hand.
I'm not a slut.
I'm okay with this.
Okay. So yeah, and then we got the show at Big Z, which is going to be fun. I'm really excited for that.
Like I said earlier, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited and I'm terrified all at the same time. It's you know, whenever you break new ground,
yeah,
you never know what to expect. And I've never actually been to Big Z's.
I've never even heard of it.
I've been over there. I know is that for 30-plus years, they have been super famous for you order a side of bacon, and you get, like, 2 pounds of bacon on a big-ass plate.
Who Heart attack on a bacon? Plate. I like it already.
Who doesn't order bacon?
Well, yeah,
and this was back before eating bacon was cool. Like, this was decades ago.
Yeah, before they put bacon and ice cream and all that other bullshit.
Exactly, before you had Baconalia or...
We have bacon-flavored hops in our beer and...
Yeah, bacon-flavored vodka and...
Bacon-flavored
condoms. Bacon-flavored... Oh, are you doing Facebook Live thing?
when we were over when I was overseas deployed in the Middle East, you couldn't get bacon at all. So one of our things we crave, because it's Muslim country, we're not allowed to bring that stuff
ever
in, right? So we would have turkey bacon, all this other stuff that would just try to simulate it, but it wasn't real bacon. So it got so bad that some of the guys would order like the bacon flavored condoms. And then chew on them like gum.
At least they didn't put them on each other's dicks and lick on them.
It's not gay if it tastes like bacon.
That's right. It's totally straight. Two straight dudes, man, just sucking some bacon off your...
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? Just pigging out.
You had me and then you lost me. And then you had me again.
Oh, bacon-flavored condom. I'd try it.
I don't think I would. I don't even like... You know, regular flavored condoms.
That might be the only way I
regular
can get
condoms
a
are the worst.
I don't know.
That's the worst flavor that they have is regular flavor.
Regular flavored lubricant are the worst.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like butthole flavored condoms. Those ones taste shitty. I don't know.
They're worst. Yeah, they're the worst.
I don't even use them. I just like to risk it. Just like to risk it. That's the way I do it.
Yeah, man. That's all it's about.
No, I use them. Hey, kids. This is your buddy Christopher James saying safe sex.
Yeah. Public service announcement.
I'll tell you right now, I don't use condoms because I didn't get a vasectomy. Well, I didn't get a vasectomy just so I could use condoms. Like,
yeah.
Fucking vasectomy is the best thing ever. If you have, listen, Facebook Live community, if you have, and podcast community in Movie Nerds We Trust, if you have the opportunity to get a vasectomy and have unprotected sex for the rest of your life,
I highly
recommend it.
I don't
think
you get my dick snipped just to have unprotected sex.
No, but without all the worry. You don't have to, like, stress eat afterwards or, like, go say Hail Marys and shit. You can just...
Or kick somebody down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, you can have a bunch of unprotected sex and then eat their pussy.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus Christ.
Not till after you come in it.
Yeah, that's glazed donut.
We were just at the gas station up the road getting beer, and I saw they had a glazed donut milkshake, and I thought that sounded really delicious.
Can we get any fatter in America? Can we please?
We can try.
We're trying to. What's great is we're trying to export that over to China.
Export?
We're exporting our fatness over to China and other countries. It's great.
Expedite.
Export.
So they're going with bacon-flavored donuts and stuff over in China.
So before we get started with our movies, you guys are actually the first guests to get a chance to check out our first ever merch, coasters.
These coasters are the shit.
Buy these immediately.
Marcus has a live Facebook feed going, so maybe he can put one in front of his phone.
So we got this. I had some coasters made for the podcast.
They're pretty fantastic.
That we're going to be selling pretty soon on our Facebook page, facebook.com/trustyournerds. You guys are the first inaugural guests to get the coasters. So
they hold my beer really good. I'm a big fan.
We're running out of beer, by the way.
Are we already?
Those small children in China did a great job on these.
Oh, children in China drank all our beer.
It was a guy I know.
Oh, by the way, Lacey Joe Bagshaw says, you can still catch chlamydia and herpes, ... LOL.
You can only get herpes. What are you doing later?
You can only get herpes once. You can't get double herpes.
Yeah. I've already got them. I can't catch them.
If you're not, you don't get chlamydia, you're not even trying.
She's playing Pokemon Ho over there.
Oh, my God.
Got to catch all the diseases. Mm.
Oh, my God.
JK, LOL-ish.
Well, I do like these. These are nice, man. These are
yeah. I had a buddy
merch,
make them,
dude.
So we're gonna be selling them soon. I'll put some info out for that. And I love them. So
it's
I had to...
too. Did you ever? I mean, is this kind of your thing? Because I haven't seen anybody else do this.
No, I haven't. You know what? I thought, what's gonna be good for the podcast when I have guest coasters?
These are you know your people.
What's gonna be good for the guys at home sitting alone who need something to put the drink on while they're listening? Like, I can relate, my son. I can relate.
Thank
you,
your
crowd.
Martin Luther King.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, we won't even start in the Martin Luther King.
Weird. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. Our first movie is the 2001 Wes Anderson classic, The Royal Tenenbaums, which is Marcus's choice. We're going to do a little bit differently on this episode. I have everybody choose a movie since we're doing a little Joker's Gone Wild mixtape, in
some
a sense.
Madness.
This is a great movie, too. It's like, much like Wes Anderson movies, great fucking cast. You got Gene Hackman, Gwyneth Paltrow.
All-star cast.
Luke Wilson, Owen Wilson, Bill Murray.
Yep.
Danny Glover's in this. It's It's one of his, like, I would say probably one of my favorite of his.
Well, you got to say Bill Murray twice. I'm sorry.
Bill Murray. For is he like reason, Beetlejuice?
Yeah, that guy earned himself a place in whatever.
God amongst men.
Yeah. No, he is. And he's always been one of my favorite, like, go-to actors. I love Scrooged. That's my go-to, like, Christmas movie.
Solid.
Meatballs is still classic. Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. Yes. Yeah, so
Ghostbusters,
good.
Which he had a small part in the new one I thought was great.
They all cameos. Had cameos. Yeah. Cameo. Even, what, Ramis?
I don't know. What's Meatballs?
Ramis. Meatballs is a movie Mary about a summer camp.
Oh, because I was totally thinking Spaceballs, and I'm trying to picture Bill Murray in that. I'm like, it sure, is not right. Computing.
No, it's one of his first ones he did. I think it's like right after... no, I think it was like right before Caddyshack.
It was right before Caddyshack.
You know what sucks, dude, is I fucking love golf, and I own Caddyshack, and I've never fucking seen Caddyshack.
Whoa! Are you kidding me?
Choke yourself.
I know that at the bare minimum, you two know how much I fucking enjoy golfing. And I have never... Okay, I'm going to tell you real quick. Sorry, we're going to get off topic for just a second.
Go ahead, then.
I despised golfing for no good reason. Kind of like Pokemon Go trend right now. I fucking hate it. I don't have a valid reason. I just don't like it.
It's great.
I had a good reason.
So the thing is, with golf, I was the same way. My friend Chuck Hansen was actually one that got me into it. He's like, listen, come golfing, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, dude. Golfing's for douchebags and preppies. Like, I'm not golfing. What? That's stupid. And then... He eventually talked me. He was my partner in crime for many years. We did many fun activities together.
Shenanigans.
And
like jerk each other off?
Well, a little bit. But
that's what friends do.
So he eventually convinced me to go golfing. And the way he did, he goes, listen, come golfing. I'll pay for the golf. I'll buy the beer. Just come and have fun. You I said, dude, you'll have me at. You'll buy the beer. So right. I went golfing and I had fun and I enjoyed it. Immediately, I was hooked. I was out there. We were playing at Swan Lakes. And on one of the holes, I swung a 7-iron, and the head flew off and almost hit some birds. And I was like, this is fucking fun.
I've almost killed wildlife.
Right? I'm in for life. So I'm like, there's drinking. There's, like, fucking swinging sticks, like, drinking, driving. Like, it's amazing. And there's violence. And so I was like, okay, this game is fun. And I said, you know what? But these assholes... These assholes that walk around the golf course are assholes. I'm never going to do that.
Dude, that's one of the benefits.
So
and the key
next thing I know, I've got one of those golf carts, and I'm pushing around the golf course, walking around it. And I said, but you know what? I'm not going to dress like these assholes in their preppy shirts and their stupid fucking golf pants. And next thing you know, I'm dressed like the biggest asshole. Fucking asshole on the golf course. And it is so much fun, but I'm so sad that I've never like I own the fucking movie and I've never seen. I just bought Porky's less than a week ago and I already watched it.
Oh god!
I can see you dressing like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack.
Oh dude, I make Rodney Dangerfield look like a church boy. I dress.
I love. There's a line that Rodney Dangerfield has in the movie.
Seriously, Google it.
It's great. I forget the movie that it's called. But he's just like, hey, everybody's going to get laid. And everybody just starts cheering. Yeah. Anyways, back.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good off the cuff. But back to Royal Tenenbaums.
Back to the movie.
That was a tangent.
Yeah,
my bad.
Back to the movie. This is great, too, because it's an Oscar nominee for Best Writing Screenplay written directly for the screen. But it's got a fantastic cast. It's an interesting movie. It's just basically a high-class family that seemingly seems perfect, but they're all fucked up because... of their dad, Gene Hackman's character.
Hackman.
Well, 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
You can say what you want. What I like about Wes Anderson's movies is they set the higher class in, like, a post-dated higher class.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like that because it's like you could buy this nice stuff at Savers, but we're no longer there. We got Walmart. It makes a lot of sense to me if I was in Ecuador.
My brain hurts.
I was trying to follow, and then Ecuador just put a fucking wrench in the gears.
Savers, Walmart, Ecuador? What the fuck?
Okay.
Is a Walmart from Ecuador?
Statement about Chavez Venezuelan.
What the fuck, man? I feel
like... I think it's great because I liked it because...
What are we supposed... Well,
for me, that was like... What I like about the Royal Tenenbaums is kind of... It takes a piece of that British deal, which is they don't bring the comedy down to the audience's level. Like, they don't pander to the audience. They say, we're going to do this stuff, and you'll see why it's funny. They don't, let me explain the funny to you while we're doing this joke and make it so, you know, so idiotic. They let the audience get it, you know, and then plus with those performances from Ben Stiller and all those guys who are great comedic actors, they, you know, the oddness, the quirkiness of the characters really brings out that comedy. It's very British in that nature, I would say.
For sure, and much like any Wes Anderson movie, there's a lot of interluding stories, especially in this one, because you have Ben Stiller, whose wife died, and he's overprotective of his sons. You have Gwyneth Paltrow's, you know, part about she's kind of discovering her identity. You know, she's adopted. Luke Wilson's, you know, going through some shit because, you know, he's very suicidal, but he's also in love with his sister, which is odd enough. Because
Gwyneth Paltrow can discover my identity.
Yeah.
What?
In Ecuador.
With a llama.
Okay, you're cut off, sir. No more beer for you. But, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, okay, I was going to say, just like all of his movies, I mean, just everything is like antiquated, right?
Yeah.
Like a little antiquated. Not quite like dusty. I like cleaned off my grandfather's coffin. But just like, hey, my parents just retired and there's something in the attic. That's what I like. Along with that, I like a lot of the color scheme, how it's got pastels. And so it's a little bit not, it's not bright. It's not spring.
It's not Tim Burton-y.
Seriously, I'm talking here!
Sorry, friend.
But no, that's what I like. And the other thing about Wes Anderson is like everything is like symmetric. Like if you watch it, it's like, you know, not my hand movements because I'm still trying to learn sign language for my nephews because Lord knows I
the
love
retarded
them,
one.
But they're not mine, okay? No, but
why do I feel like you've been on a guest on Maury Povich?
Yeah, right? You should have been a guest on Jerry Springer or Jose Luis Sin Censura.
But that's what I like.
That's one of
Mike's get
shows.
Big name actors, like you're saying, and you put them in an entirely different non-Hollywood kind of situation.
None of them have to be the star.
Yeah, and
movie.
You know, each character brings something to it. I mean, you got Luke Wilson's character who's a writer, a fucking cowboy. He's like big-time cowboy who was their neighbor, and he's very much wanting to be part of their family constantly. And he's kind of one of those annoying guys that like you'll keep around just because he's super nice, but at the same time you don't want anything to do with him.
Well,
a Marcus.
Damn.
But the other thing that I like particularly about his movies is the fact that we have all these big name actors, but there is no one that is in the starshine.
Yeah, none of them outshines each
other.
They
all get their
piece. I thought you said Star Trek.
They all get their moment to shine in that movie, and they're all really, really solid. The other thing I liked about it, too, was that I felt like it was a realistic kind of peek inside of that blue blood, inbred sort of world, almost, you know, where it's like, not sense of they're so secular or so tight in that rich, you know, or the blue blood community. So you get this weird, like, on the outside, everybody looking in is like, oh, I wish I was that family. But then when you see inside of it, it's like, it's so dysfunctional. It's insane. It's way more dysfunctional than...
I'm going to totally throw something out of the blue here.
Sure.
And,
out of the blue blood.
I'm going to switch the camera so it looks at you guys when I say this. I like the fact that we had Danny Glover.
Yeah, he was great.
He was not shot.
Well, yeah, you can't just shoot black guys in every movie.
Wow.
Why you gotta ruin this for me, man?
Isn't that... I was agreeing, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You were agreeing.
They shot him on film in the movie.
But Royal Tenenbaums, like I said, I like it.
No, it's
was
great.
He... Now, okay, so unfortunately, I am not smart enough to figure out how to make the internet to work so I could watch it, and I'm sad about that because, like we discussed in our group message... Pull it up on YouTube because it's not on Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah.
And so I pulled up YouTube and
travesty.
It said, you got to pay to watch this. And I was like, cool, like fucking play. And it just kept showing me the 1 minute and 55 second trailer over and over and over again. And apparently I'm not
so
smart
everything
enough.
You know about the movie is
yeah, it's from less than a 2 minute trailer. But it looked amazing.
You got the gist.
And so my question is, Danny Glover, what was his character?
He was married to Angelica Houston.
He wasn't typecast as like a butler or a chauffeur.
Who?
Or Danny Glover, right?
No, man, he was just casted.
I know. But that's
such
what I'm asking.
A fucking solid.
No,
cast.
He was her.
Yeah, no. They looked phenomenal. It looked stellar. I mean, like everybody in it. Because I remember seeing the previews as a child and thinking, "Well, this is fucking dumb." But I think I confused it with what's a movie with the guy with the big nose?
Pinocchio? Count Hook? Anything with Robert De Niro?
Shoot, I don't know. I just feel dumb now.
Well, you should.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you were willing to pay for it, why didn't you just go on iTunes?
Like Steve Martin and the Jerk?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Are you talking about the Jerk?
Well, I was
Steve Martin and the Jerk?
No? Yeah. Oh, he had a big-ass nose in the Jerk. Yeah, he had a big-ass nose.
No, the only movie with Steve Martin where he had a big nose was Roxanne.
Oh, yeah, it is Roxanne. Okay. He was in the Jerk, though.
Yeah.
His face is on the cover of that movie box.
Yeah, but...
So many great moments.
No, he has a lot. He's like her husband, and he actually is a really great part in the movie. He's very cool and contempt in the movie. But I mean, usually his role is like Lethal Weapon. Of course, he's I'm too old for this shit and just all over the place.
He's an outsider.
He's an outsider to that crazy family. So he's sort of the straight man, sort of that family, because he doesn't come from that insanity that they're from. So he's an outside player in that, right? So he establishes that there's other normal people, and that helps really highlight the weirdness of the rest of the family by having a guy like him.
Well, it's funny that you mention he's like an outsider of the family, because Gene Hackman, who is Angelica Houston's ex-husband, is more of an outsider than anybody.
But he's
family.
More of an insider, because the fact that he is breaded, everyone except for...
Deep fried and breaded.
Breaded.
Jason Schwartzman is the big nose guy from Rushmore that I was thinking, by the way. Okay. That's why I got it confused. Okay.
That's another weird flick.
It's a great movie. Another one with Bill Murray, of course.
See? And I didn't care. I was young and dumb and full of cum because my uncle just raped me, and I didn't care for the movie.
Who's cum? That's my business.
Yeah. Sorry to say, when they say...
You say the most horrible things. I don't hear these things anywhere. And the most horrible things I've ever heard in my life have come from your dirty fucking ginger mouth.
And the weird thing is they make me laugh so hard. They make me happy. I don't know why.
Yes.
I mean, I'm glad they didn't happen to me, but they make me laugh.
Really? Seriously? Candy, my van, didn't happen to you?
You're not my uncle anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and neither was he.
Well, that's.
I am a sovereign nation from your dirty dick tip.
Let's get back on topic.
Back to royal town.
Because apparently I'm pissing a lot of viewers off here. We're only down to three.
Ah.
And the biggest argument I got is I can barely hear, but you're all sexy.
Hey.
You're single there. Oh.
Ah.
That's Tyler.
Tyler Hoffman, my doggy.
All right, anyways. So Gene Hackman's like he's trying to con his way back into his family by telling them
but
he's
isn't
dying.
The whole family trying to pawn their way back?
No, he's conning his way back.
What I got from
the
trailer was
children's
he was dying, and they were trying to come back in.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was trying to buy their love back, and like Ben Stiller's character with his all their kids were all dressed in the same shitty Run DMC outfits, like. With their shitty hairs. Like, did I get that part right?
In a sense, he's not really dying. He's saying that he is to get back and to con his way back into their lives.
And it doesn't matter, because when you're talking about the whole sister-brother thing between Luke Wilson and, what's
Gwyneth
her name?
Paltrow?
Yep. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, he found an opportunity between his suicidal tennis bracket moment to do as such. Everyone's trying to find their way back to something that they know. Even though what they knew initially is what drove them away. Yeah, that's right. I said drive them away.
Drive
them away.
Well, you've got Gwyneth Paltrow, who's married to Bill Murray, who's a therapist, a child therapist in this. She hates the aspect she did. Luke Wilson's, crumbling from the inside because he's in love with her. He's a tennis-like star, and he's, he's got good things going for him, but he's just always been in love with her but never been able to,
We gotta open the
door. I would be a terrible child therapist because I would just tell the kids all the time, like, I'd be like, you suck, kids. You suck. Kids are the worst. And then the kids would become, like, suicidal children.
Well, we already know you should not be near children. That's...
Well, on the bright side, the bright side is that I shouldn't be near children. It's not that I'm not allowed to be. It's just that I shouldn't be because anybody with a good sense of fucking human decency knows, just don't let them around KG. Right.
Thank you,
terrible.
Rose!
Yeah, holler out to the beer bitch.
Okay.
She said it earlier, not me. Those her words.
Beer winch. What other points do you got to make on Royal Tenenbaum? Because honestly, I know what we're waiting for. Waiting for the third one, really.
Yeah.
So let's move to the second one.
Not quite yet, because that's not how
snap.
It works.
Oh, wow. Yes, please.
Because usually, before we move on to the next movie, we do fun facts.
Quattro.
About the movie that we're currently talking about. For the listeners who know.
Oh, I've got some fun facts.
No, you don't.
Uh-huh. Like, let me tell you.
You didn't even see this movie.
Chaz and his sons move back in with Ethelene, and Chaz has increasing paranoia about the boy's safety. You see, so after hearing this news, Margot returns home as well, craving a change from her odd married life.
All right, seriously.
You're just reading the description. Shut the fuck
stop
up.
Stop reading the Wikipedia entry. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I don't know who the one viewer is, but we're down to one viewer right now.
Oh, man. Right. Well, that one
and
viewer
I blame
is the best.
You, and I so blame
let's,
you.
Let's shut the fuck up and let Christopher okay. James run his
Sorry.
Show. Because that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Big pop.
Slap
on.
That pimp dip down.
So basically, in the whole concept, spoiler alerts, they end up finally accepting him after
you
going
seen
through...
this already.
Yeah, okay, shut the fuck up. Thank you. Anyways.
I haven't seen it.
Has anyone got a better internet connection?
No.
No? Okay.
So
Zip.
He basically just, he ends up finally, you know, winning them over. But it the odd twist of it is he ends up dying, like, not...
Gene Hackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he suckers them back in by lying about dying and then actually dies.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he fucking gets.
Like I said, I would have swore this was a British comedy the first time I watched it. Because it had all
It sounds just the name. The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah. So,
sounds like a British comedy.
Fun fact, the original hawk used to play Mordecai was kidnapped during shooting and held for ransom. So production could not wait for him to be returned, which is the reason that the bird that appears later in the movie has more white feathers than a different bird.
Wait, a bird got kidnapped?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What? And held for ransom. Yeah. I thought originally like it was a kid, and they're like, hey, you know what? We can't wait till you guys get this kid back. We got to shoot this movie. But the fact that it's a bird...
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
Presume like, I don't. It's weird, but
from Royal
they
did they
seen one of the
did they sneak into
the Falcon got kidnapped.
Did they sneak into like their fucking trailers on set and kidnap the bird?
I don't know. Like it's weird. Like I don't.
Where
know
were they filming it? Ecuador?
I don't know who kidnaps a bird and holds it for ransom, but
right?
It's pretty
yeah,
fucking
so
awesome.
Gene Hackman
smoked a lot of weed.
Gene Hackman mentioned in interviews that he was somewhat hesitant to accept the part. As he felt that he himself had been insensitive to his own family at different points in his life.
Ooh, hit too close to home for him.
He asked them if they would find him playing this character uncomfortable for their own sake. They all agreed he should accept the part, which he was great in. I don't even see, you know...
Well, he's never bad. Is there anything bad Gene Hackman's in that is bad?
Superman?
He's solid,
no,
dude.
It's a good movie.
Oh, well.
the scene
JK.
Where... JK! Oh, my God. The scene where Richie... punches a glass and Mordecai's pin is unscripted. This was improvised by Luke Wilson on the spot, and then the scene quickly cuts to Richie and Riley, Bill Murray's character, talking up close. This is because when Wilson punched the glass, director Wes Anderson thought he seriously hurt himself.
Wow.
So a bit of Django Unchained, Leonardo DiCaprio cutting his hand mid-shot. And
not
still
even related
it.
To this movie, so we're going to
no,
skip
no,
it.
No, but I mean sort of...
we're going to skip it because that's...
but the different directors. The different directors would be like, you know, Quentin Tarantino goes for it.
He'd be
DiCaprio's
yeah,
hands bleeding
it,
to death.
That's what,
yeah, yeah.
And he'll
yeah.
go with it, you know, Wes Anderson, low, oh, cut, cut.
Perfect.
But
okay,
Wes Craven...
Are you guys gonna
third
shut
tangent.
The fuck up? Let's do this. Let's yeah. Let's,
I thought we're. You
are you actively trying to derail
topic?
This podcast?
Yes.
So Danny Glover, Luke Wilson, and Owen Wilson actually all turned down parts in Ocean 11 to be in this movie.
What?
That wasn't maybe the smartest move they've ever made.
Well,
but
I don't know
because
this to me sounds like
movie.
A pretty good cult classic kind of a thing. Because
it's
not a huge blockbuster movie, but it sounds like a pretty good cult classic. And I'm actually. I really want to find it and watch it.
Yeah,
and I should
watch
pulled
it.
It up on fucking iTunes.
You should
I didn't
watch
even
it.
Think about that.
No
I'm
worries.
Telling you guys, I'm not internet savvy. If I can't like, comment, or share, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
You got a couple things going against you. You probably get laid. You have a life.
Occasionally. Sometimes.
Yeah, so those internet things can be tough when
Anyways,
you have those.
back to the movie. The idea of Margot losing part of her finger was actually originally written for the character Margaret Yang in Rushmore. Which I thought
oh,
was
really?
Interesting.
In
yeah.
Rushmore.
No yeah.
the weird awesome. Random
it
movie.
It all comes
yeah,
back
right?
around. There
yeah.
we go.
How weird is that?
KG knows what's up.
So like, Gene Wilder actually turned down Royal Tenenbaums due to his retirement. Which Dude. I kind of thought, like, if he would have been Royal Tenenbaum instead of Gene Hackman, would have been kind of interesting.
Yes. Dude, Gene Wilder's the bomb.
bomb, dude. Yeah. That guy,
Gene Wilder.
Oh,
yeah.
Why did he retire? Didn't he have some?
I don't know why he retired.
I think that he had some degenerative nerve disease. I could be completely wrong and just making that shit up. I might just be thinking of his role in Blazing Saddles. But
I don't remember. To be
honest, we should have done Blazing Saddles.
He was one of those guys who just decided to walk away from the limelight. You know.
So this is actually the first film by Wes Anderson that was not filmed in Texas, because of course most people know Wes Anderson's originally from Texas.
Where you're from.
Your home state.
That's true.
Yeah.
From Big Dick, Texas.
Steers and queers.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways. the character Henry Sherman was named after Wes Anderson's landlord. Which I find it interesting.
Now we're digging deep.
It is. Yeah. That's part of the podcast.
That's what she said.
This is Rex Robin's final film.
Robin, he sounds like a bad guy from Superman, like dressed in a bird cape.
In a bird cape?
Well, I guess that'd be Robin from Batman, huh?
Oh, shit.
Sorry, nerds. I suck at being a nerd sometimes.
No, it's okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, there we go.
No.
The movie about Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, what I really like about it, like one of my most favorite scenes, like they go to the ice cream parlor, whatnot. I love the way everything is offset.
All right, so we will go ahead and move on to our next movie, the 2001. I don't know if I want to call this a classic, but I still find it entertaining. Joe Dirt with, of course, David Spade, Brittany Daniel, Dennis Miller, which I love that Dennis Miller has a nice part in this movie, and Christopher Walken.
Wait. Joe Dirt came out in 2001?
I know, right? Yeah. 15 years ago.
I feel like I was a child when that came out. That puts me at 20 years old when that movie came out. That doesn't seem right.
I was about 19, depending on the
Holy
month.
Holy shit.
Yeah, let's see. 15 years ago, so I was about 16.
I swear that came out when I was like 12, because I watched it a million times. And,
fucking bizarre. I watch Joe Dirt religiously, regularly. Two to three times a year, I'll at least watch Joe Dirt two or three times a year. If it's ever on, I will never turn it off. I mean, for me, the movie has so many classic lines in it.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
The women, every girl they put in that movie was smoking
hot. Yeah.
Smoking hot.
Yeah,
what's
Brittany
her name?
Daniels, you got Jamie Priestley.
Jamie Presley, yeah. I
oh, no,
for
shit.
Her.
The girl from My Name is Earl.
Earl, yeah.
Jamie Presley,
I had
oh
such
my
a thing
God.
For her.
Have you never seen Joe Dirt?
Dude, no, I've seen it. I just forgot she was in it. I've seen it a million times. But Jamie Presley and My Name is Earl. Oh, my God. I would do so many questionable things
well, this is her,
with and to her.
This is her, like, in that role before that role.
Yeah. It's like she had a smaller bit parts.
Before she hooked up with Crab
Man.
Yeah.
I'm your sister.
fuck me.
No, my question is, did
she could be my sister.
A twin double?
What?
A what?
Don't you remember Sweet Valley High?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was the same gal who played a twin in that movie.
I remember River City Ransom, but that was an NES game. Don't deep throat the mic.
Oh, my God. Marion.
We didn't bring him here.
Yeah. No, but
see what I did there?
Like,
see what I did?
Oh,
clever pun.
Double. I'm sorry, but apparently none of you known that, so I guess it didn't happen.
Jamie Presley.
I saw this movie in theaters when it came out. That's how fucking old.
How did you get in? Isn't it R-rated?
I don't think so.
Is it PG-13?
That's PG-13, yeah.
Damn. They kept the hard R rating off of it, I guess.
Yeah.
I got a hard R rating for Jamie Presley.
You went in together, bought popcorn, you're good.
You know what? Not a lot of people are fans of David Spade, but I actually really like him. I think he's actually hilarious.
I like the majority of things I've seen him in.
Yeah, we'll say
like,
most part, yeah.
I want to not like them. But I do. I don't know. I don't know why I want to not like him, but I do.
He's at his best when he was with Farley. He's at his absolute best when he had the tag team of him and Farley. They were at their absolute best. Without Farley, he's not as strong of an actor on his own. But in this movie, he was real solid.
He played the part perfectly.
Yeah, it's him.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree though, because he's done a lot of really good stuff without Farley.
Yes.
Even that TV show, that Rules of Engagement or whatever that he's on, it's still entertaining.
Rules of Engagement or like was it Shoot Me? Just Shoot Me.
Just Shoot Me was good too.
That might be another
Just
one.
Shoot Me.
The Rules of Engagement has got Joe Swanson. Who is it? Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
That does Patrick's or Joe Swanson's voice.
The Flea.
Yeah, the Tick.
The Tick. Sorry,
the Tick.
He just did that movie recently for Netflix, The Do-Over with Adam Sandler, which actually...
Oh, really?
Surprisingly, was not that bad.
You know what? I watched all of it until about the last 20 minutes, and then my narcolepsy kicked in. But I was really enjoying it.
Whoa.
It was a good movie, and then I just fell the fuck
asleep.
All
I'm talking about is precursor, and narcolepsy is rubber. But nonetheless, we're talking about Joe Dirt.
We'll get to rubber. Yeah, well, no, you won't. Well, I won't. Wait.
No, I like Joe Dirt. It was very broadening.
Yeah, and I mean, the sequel is a bag of shit for an alien.
Oh, no, don't ruin the sequel for me. Don't ruin it for me, because I want to see the sequel, I'm not holding it to high standards.
Well, yeah, of course not. It went straight to, what, DVD? Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
It went straight to DVD-A.
It went straight to Crackle first, and then they released it on DVD.
It was like an online movie for like a week or two, and then it...
Yeah, they did a crowdfunding for it, but... I mean, he's done stuff that he starred in by himself. Dickie Roberts is a really good one.
Yeah.
There's this movie Lost and Found that he's in. There's Senseless that he was in with Marlon Wayans.
That one's okay.
No, that one's pretty good.
That was where Marlon Wayans lost his senses, hence the
For me, there's certain parts of this movie, like the unforgettable moments is
where
when,
the dog's balls
when
are frozen.
When she rides up on that horse and gets off that horse in slow motion. Oh, my God. And then another great cameo in this, or not cameo per se, but Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Yeah.
He's really good. He kills it in this movie.
Well, of course. He plays a cliche out.
Plays himself.
Picture perfect, lack of a better way of
saying
it.
Plus he ended up kind of doing like his own like music, I think, for this movie, I think. And I remember like when the promo stuff came out, it was like they did a music video, Joe Dirt music video. I can't remember.
Really?
But, what I like about this movie is he's clearly just the intro to Joe Dirt is amazing. They just have a close-up on his face when they're doing Lynyrd Skynyrd, and he gets in this shitty car, and he's driving to work where he's basically a janitor at like the radio station that Dennis Miller...
And he's rocking his ass off.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, you know, Dennis Miller's bored, decides to bring him in, say, let's just have this piece of shit story. You're clearly a fucking... fuck up who nobody likes. I want to hear your story. I want to hear the ballad of Joe Dirt.
And I feel kind of like that at the time. I feel like that was a, I don't know if you want to say like an ode to Howard Stern kind of thing. That was kind of the character he was doing. Yeah. Did I pick up on that?
Well, he says he is like, I got 4 hours a day to kill. You know, I'm going to ring this chamois. You know, let's get as much story out of this dude as I can.
Yeah.
The soundtrack of the movie is awesome, too.
For
like
sure.
Like I said, the girls are hot. The soundtrack's amazing. It's got some great, for me, great lines you can quote.
Like that's why Dad named you Joe Dirt instead of Nunnamaker. That's my favorite line from that movie, just because his sister's fucking calling him a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, that's your favorite line. But I want to hear his favorite line.
Sorry, friend.
I can't even... A favorite line from the movie?
You just said there's so many quotable movies, and then he said I can't think of it.
Quotable moments.
Words.
What's one of my... Oh gosh, some of the favorite lines in that
movie. All right, I'm going to steal that from
What's
you,
the whistle? So... The firecrackers? What's
I would say one of my favorite is like when he's, you know, he's basically working at an alligator ranch, and he's all like, all right, rule number one, don't try this at home.
I'm number one. No, he's like, number one.
Yeah, okay, well, that's I'm getting to that, so let's shut up for a second.
Such a cunt.
In an endearing way.
I'm not a fan of people stealing my thunder, what can I say?
Thunder from down under.
So he's, like, basically working there because he's trying to, you know, save money to, you know, get a private investigator for his family and trying to find the stuff. So he's doing the alligator wrestling thing, and he ends up, like... putting himself in the alligator's mouth. He's like, old, I forget the name of the alligator, but he's just like...
Chompy.
He's a 6-year-old cartoon character.
It was maybe... So the premise is... I forgot where I was going. I was going to say an alligator at Disney reference,
so
and I fucked it up.
He's doing it, and he's flinging all about, and everybody thinks it's part of the show. That's my favorite part, is when he's like back-talking the whole alligator, saying like, hey... Rule number one, don't try this on. Rule number two, I'm the star of the show. And he starts fucking with the alligator and ends up like, getting tossed around.
No, he says, he goes, there's three rules when dealing with alligators, and he only gives two. And then the little kid goes, what's third rule? And he's like, shut your mouth. And he's like, so you don't know rule number three? And he's like,
I got a match. You're
no, it was
my
a
face.
Rule number one. Like, rule number face. One. I'm number one. That's yeah, what I'm it was. One. Yeah. So we'll go around. Yeah. We'll
the
go
other
around
hilarious part of that scene is that if you look at his cigarette, the cigarette ash on the end of it is about 6 inches long.
That was a lot with cigarette scenes. Just saying. That's
the
all
ash
I'm
was
saying.
Like that long.
When I was a child, my friend, his dad would kill a Marlboro Long in two drags, and the ashes Jesus. Would get like he would just.
Can you say meth addict? Yeah. Anyways, continue.
It was
on.
Before meth was invented, I think. I don't know. I was young. Okay. I think it was just bathtub crank.
Yeah, we just used to
well,
crank
I mean,
crank
I have PCP. Dabbled in this and that and this and that and this and that again.
Oh, my God. But I like it. It's kind of one of those, like, coming-of-age stories. It kind of teaches you, you know, not to judge a book by its cover because everybody's got a great story.
Well, do you think kiddie porns are coming-of-age stories? What's that?
Well, I got. I don't know. You said kiddie porn.
You were
coming underage stories.
I mean kitten I mean, porn.
You know, like coming-of-age story or just like a fish-in-a-barrel hope story? I mean,
sure,
initially.
Yeah. I mean, it
like,
has
that's
that.
Where this thing would come from is the fact that... I'm sorry, I got to... But
you're terrible at putting that in your mouth.
I know. Some of us are
right,
not.
Put your
as
dick away, KG.
Ow, but I don't want
to. The big black ones.
The funny thing hey, is, little like, black ones. This story of a guy, obviously, who his parents abandoned him, and he's seeking out
at parents. The Grand Canyon.
I know, right? And what better monumental way to do that than at a monumental place?
Yeah. Huh?
And he's
throw him in the trash can.
So initially. I guess this is about how unhealthy relationships should seek out unhealthy relationships in hopes of finding a better relationship in some factor. At one point, he thought it was his sister. I don't know. Where am I losing ground here?
I don't know, Dr. Phil, but...
You know what? I hate you too, Canada.
Not Canadian?
No, you can get away with Canada with everything.
Oh, okay.
If,
no,
if
no you make some
They're
religion,
actually called snowbacks. Okay.
You know what? Anyways, I'm really curious like what Christopher has to say.
No, I said you make a good point on all of those things. It's
I'm also curious what Christopher
we
has
have
to
suspend
say. That
disbelief.
Means I'm bi-curious what Christopher has to say.
You have nice. To suspend disbelief, and as Joe, as they show David Spade as a, he used to be like, I'm 12 years old, walking on the tracks.
Yeah,
he's like is, in his late 30s.
Because I was gonna say, Eric,
with the meteorite.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like you, meteorite. You're my best friend.
With the French fries and the ketchup, that was such a great class.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, he's got yeah. some documentary.
Oh,
so what?
I don't know. You're looking at your phone.
No. I was gonna say, it's funny because one of the kids from. Malcolm in the Middle, like the second youngest brother in
not
that.
Not Frankie.
No, not Frankie. Not the Reese, the kid
not
who
Reese.
Played Reese.
The youngest brother.
Youngin, but yeah.
He
yeah,
plays a young Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
The Grand
which
Canyon.
Is,
oh, yeah.
Basically what I was going to say. So thank you again
Dude,
for that.
He does.
Shut up.
We're all in
so
agreement.
He's playing him for the first, like, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, I forgot.
And then, like, David says it jumps to him being 12, and then it's like, because apparently David Spade.
Middle-aged.
Yeah, David Spade's yeah, like, hey, I'm 42, but I'm going to act 12.
I'm going to put on a pair of overalls and skip yeah. down the tracks like a 12-year-old.
But I love, too, is what about this movie is that as he's telling his story and we're seeing it, it will cut to people listening to it on the radio. Like, when they find out that the meteorite is a big chunk of shit, you know, and he's been sitting there dipping his fries.
Like,
oh.
And although, like, if I really had a look at this, like, I know Joe Dirt goes on his ventures, experiences this and that. So, given his time of absence from where he's at, Sweet Valley High Girl, what's her name?
Jamie Presley. Yeah.
Well, she's like so someone who just has a quick blip in it.
But even the girls listening to the radio are hot.
Well, yeah.
Okay, we get it. You're lonely and sad. Let's move on.
Sometimes hot girls have to listen to the radio.
He honestly would have lost it. Because given that kind of environment and everything, she would have been picked up like that by whatever, like,
oh, you're thinking of Brittany Daniels.
Was that Brandy?
Yeah.
Oh, Brittany Daniels was Brandy? Daniels. Yeah.
Jamie Priestley was just like, he's working at the carnival and...
He picks her up at the carnival.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's running
sister.
The Tilt-A-Whirl or whatever.
No. His original love. Like he would have lost that, man. There's a lot of time lapse where Kid Rock would actually pick them and be like, look how many EBT checks I got and whatnot. I can get you some milk. I can get you some Twinkies because I know someone on the slide that can exchange shit for shit.
Got this Horizon card.
He would have lost that ground.
What the fuck did you just say?
I was there.
Made sense.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah, all right.
For the first time tonight, Marcus made sense.
You know what else is weird? In this movie, Tony Robbins plays Buffalo Bill.
That's
the guy that traps him and puts him in the hole.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
I think it's Tony Robbins, but let's double check.
He's like, where's my stuff? He gets his auto trader. All right, I'm putting the lotion on the skin.
It's I need my supplies.
Yeah. An homage to Silence of the Lambs.
Gosh dang, man. That's I really
it puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
You really what?
I really
it's
forgot.
Not Tony Robbins. You were incorrect. It's Brian Thompson.
Oh.
He looks like a giant big headed Tony Robbins. Dragonheart, Cobra. He's in
people know him from those movies?
Yeah. He's a good actor.
Have you seen Cobra? Have you seen Dragonheart? I've seen a lot of 80s movies.
Big into the 80s flicks.
Well, Dragonheart is not an 80s
what
movie.
Was,
it's like early 90s.
Is that the one with the fake-ass dragons?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the hearts.
It's like Dennis Quaid and Sean Connery is like, I'm going to go with the stars.
And if I have a problem with Joe Dirt, it's probably just that it finishes kind of weak. It starts really strong. It's going really good. And then the ending sort of...
I'm going to disagree with you there. Because he tells his story. People love it. He ends up becoming this media sensation, and he's doing the what? And this is a fucking deep pullback. A Total Request Live on MTV.
TRL. With Carson Daly.
Carson Daly.
When his mom calls in and asks how big Carson Daly's dick is.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Not with Sway. Carson Daly, not Sway.
Yeah. Ma'am, you don't need to always drink the bong water, I think is what Carson Daly said. Anyway, so...
Have you ever drank bong water?
Ew, no. Oh.
You know what? Hardcore. I made the mistake one. Okay, well, I say mistake, but one time we filled up the bong with Mountain Dew instead of water. Delicious. What? Gives you diabetes. But the other time, instead of water, we used vodka. And I'm going to tell you a couple of bad things about this. It fucking burns when you smoke a bong and the water is vodka. It hurts.
You have ethanol in it, which is...
Well, so then you've got the smoke, and then you've got the heat and everything, and the vapors and everything coming up in. Costly. Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic.
Shaved
but
years
then,
of life.
After you're done, you finish your bowl, you cash it out, and then you're like,
shots.
Let's drink the bong water. You have shots of weed vodka. It was back before they had bacon vodka, back before they had pepper vodka, back before they had jalapeno vodka. It was the original flavored vodka, and we made
cotton
it in the basement
vodka.
Of our mother's houses, and it was brutal.
Well, I'm sorry. Who? Who's we? Not you.
I was there.
No, you were a mistake.
I was a 15-year-old child drinking Jesus. Vodka weed bong water.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With gangsta, son.
All right. Let's get back.
That's why mom named me
let's get back
Kevin
to
Dirt
the
instead of Nana Maker.
Let's get back to the movie. Because I love, you know, as he's telling his journey, he's meeting people. Like, one of my favorite
My mom just texted me and asked if I was alive. Sorry.
Oh, one of the characters that he meets that I like is Christopher Walken's character. He's in this small town. He ends up becoming a janitor, odd enough.
Yeah.
And Christopher Walken's the... he's an ex-mobster.
Mafia guy.
Witness protection program, yeah.
Wait. Can we just call right now no walking impressions, or are we all just going to do shitty walking impressions?
I'm not a hack, so no, I wasn't going. Well,
you're not a Gene Hackman?
Okay.
Full circle!
Oh, my God.
Savior?
Let's also try not to yell everything we say. There's
Sorry.
Microphones. Look at that jump. Look at
Sorry,
that?
Friend.
Look at that. That spike. Is a.
You got.
You're gonna kill my listeners' ears.
Sorry.
Dude, I'm
sorry, people. I'm excited.
That spike was the amount of people listening to us. That's my mistake.
No.
So the louder we get, the more people listen. Awesome.
So if I was to say,
I'm done.
Ruined it.
And I tap out.
Another one of my favorite movies that Walken's in, and I've seen a shitload of them.
Yeah.
But Seven Psychopaths.
Oh, I have yet to
Solid.
See that one.
Oh, my God.
Solid.
You need to watch it.
Yeah,
it will give you
it.
A boner. And since you haven't seen it, can I do like a spoiler alert? Do you want to plug your ears? Like, so there's a part in it where these guys are coming at him, and he's got a gun, and they're like, drop your gun. And he's like, no. And they're like, put your gun down, or we're going to kill you.
No.
You should put your gun down right now. And he's like, no. Like, put it down. He's like, I'm not going to. And they're like, why not? Because I don't wanna. You're gonna have to shoot me. And they're like, what the fuck? We're gonna fucking Sorry, I keep yelling.
Whoa! I thought we said no yeah. walking impressions.
I know.
You were yelling for
but I'll tell you what. I'll leave it off there. But watch Seven Psychopaths. It's fantastic.
I'll have to check it out.
But back to Joe Dirt. Back to Joe Dirt.
Yeah, let's
I apologize.
Back to Joe Dirt.
I was going to mention.
So,
hold on a second.
So what I like about Walken's character is like he's not really telling a lot about his backstory, but you can tell in the moments where he's like talking in the mirror to himself and he's like, "You talking to me?" And then he ends up, of course, saving all those kids and letting Joe Dirt like take the credit for it.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, sorry, I can't take the credit
for
this."
He can't take it, yeah.
And then he ends up, you know.
My question is.
But then he gets caught anyway, doesn't he?
How do they get Walken in this movie? How do they get him in? How do they get him into this
because
movie?
Because they did so SNL gangster. Together a lot in the 90s.
Oh,
there we go.
I hate Saturday Night Live.
I haven't watched it in a little bit, but I did like Walken stuff that he used to do. This thing where you never see the girl, and he was this classy guy, and he's always trying to hook up with a woman, and he'd go too far, and he's like, "Nah, wait, come back."
We
need more cowbell.
There was a very small window when SNL had a golden era, and it was a very, very small window. I personally am not a fan of the early years. I'm not a fan of the current years. I just SNL just – it seems so fucking – I don't know if it's forced or like contrite. I don't know if I'm using the right word there. Trite? Contrite?
Actually surprised you know a word that's
big. I like to use big words, and sometimes I even know what they mean. But it just I don't know. There was a very small window where SNL was entertaining, and it, believe it or not, wasn't necessarily the Will Ferrell years. And I know everyone loves those with the cowbell and all that fun stuff. And it's I don't know.
Chris Farley years are pretty solid.
Yeah,
I can agree with that. At the same time, I'm kind of a snobby dick when it comes.
I know you
to those
very
things.
Well.
That
Do
you
is
like
accurate.
The Steve Martin years or the.
I fucking, you know what? I have recently, as an adult, I've had to go back and re-listen to things. And Steve Martin, I've listened to a little bit lately, and I really enjoy it because it's not just set up punch. He's more of a really good, fun storyteller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
great.
Got
but
some really
also
great stuff.
Throws in fun characters at the same time. Where you don't have to think it's a real story because it's a fun journey. And that's one thing that I really like about Steve Martin.
For me, it's the Aykroyd Belushi fucking era. That's the pinnacle of
Saturday
Night Live. All right, let's get back to Joe Dirt.
We got a little off track again.
Yeah,
but that's what this is about, having fun.
I love his parents, too. And by the way, Fred Ward plays his dad, which people know from Tremors.
The worst humans.
Oh, I love Tremors.
Tremors is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go pee.
She's trying to hawk her fucking clown collection.
No, keep going.
Her poor child.
So... It does. I feel like it wraps up kind of nicely, though. I mean, he ends up, you know, the whole thing with Brandy is like he tried to call and talk to her, and then Kid Rock kind of like fucks it up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, they end up getting her on the radio. I kind of felt when I first watched this, he's calling her in his bedroom. He's like, "Oh, you won't even get this." Or I kind of thought she was dead.
Well, the thing was, like, when Dennis Miller was calling her, like, they thought, and I'm pretty sure that I have an accurate memory of this, they thought that it was going to be just a shit show for Joe Dirt. Like, they thought... Yeah.
She screwed him over.
Yeah, they thought that they were going to continue to pile shit on this janitor's life, and instead, he kind of turned it around, and...
She comes out, says, "I didn't want to tell you because, or they're dead."
Yeah, it became a good story, but they thought they were going to shit on him and make him look like an asshole and an idiot on the radio.
Yeah, because they probably didn't believe that he's telling the story about this really hot girl that like cares about him.
Yeah,
somebody.
Just
he's
thought
like,
he was
no
retarded.
Way, not
this
loser. And then she comes on and goes, "Yo, I love you. Come back home, Joe Dirt," and sort of that sort of thing. Like it's got everything a good movie needs. And like I said, it just for me, the amount of great moments in it where he's like, "Oh, I like to see homos naked." Like, home is where you make it.
The bad thing is that where that is a very specific point where it turned from a really good comedy to a shitty rom-com. Because it was a really good, fun, raunchy, hilarious, ridiculous comedy, and then they had to throw in like the fucking, ooh, our hero gets a, sorry, Toad, our princess is in another castle, or, you know, whatever the fuck.
That's why I'm saying, like, it didn't finish as strong as I wanted it to.
A little bit,
movie was so good, and then when it got to her telling him, and he meets the parents, he gets depressed, jumps off the bridge, all that stuff was like,
I'll admit, that's when it goes sour, because he wakes up, he's got the fucking dreadlock
that
shit.
That was the worst.
He also, you know, everybody, I do like that everybody he's met, like Kicking Wayne, you know.
Kicking Wayne, that was his name.
Yeah. What if Gerby Frobe, he's Gerby Frobe now.
What were the fireworks? The whistle kickers?
Whistle kiss.
He has a million names for them. The whistling bungholes, the kitty chasers,
Fucking the whiskey
dudes, Hoosker dudes, Hoosker don'ts.
Hoosker dudes and Whisker don'ts. That's what it was. I like Kicking Wing.
You're trying to tell me.
He was not a typecast character like Danny Glover in the Royal Tenenbaums.
This part, though, because when they find an atom bomb, and he goes like, I want all the names from the bus that damn dare when they went to the Grand Canyon.
And while you're looking for that, hey, you over there, show me your titties.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. He just ends up having all that shit dump on him, and they don't arrest him because that's punishment enough. But
and just somebody, he's like, how much is in here? It just keeps coming out.
Is it done? Oh my god. So some fun facts from this movie is the names that Joe Dirt reads off from the people that were on the tour bus are the same names that Ben Stein goes through for attendance in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
What?
I didn't know that.
Holy shit.
This is actually awesome. Roseanne Barr and Gary Busey were originally cast as Joe Dirt's parents. After shooting the scene, director Danny Gordon decided that Roseanne's star power was just too distracting and opted to reshoot the scene with Caroline Aaron and Fred Ward.
I'm sorry. How do you you get on screen, all of a sudden there's like some kind of like meter. It's like, it's going off the board. Star power's too much.
I actually thought like Roseanne Barr and Gary Busey would have been
excellent.
That would have
been way better.
As his parents.
Yeah, because his dad, the guy who played his dad, did okay. The mom was kind of like ho-hum. I wasn't really impressed.
Yeah,
and their part was so small, so her star power isn't going to kill the movie. It's a 3-minute part of the movie or whatever.
It's David Spade.
Busey would have been hilarious.
Kill it. It's going to help it.
Fuck. Busey would have been too spot on.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even do Busey. It would have been too accurate, like too spot on.
Hi, I'm Gary Busey. I'm your dad. So in the scene where the hot air balloon comes down near the oil derrick, a sign with Scotch Oil on it is seen. Scotch Oil was the name of David Spade's friend, of course, Chris Farley's family oil business in Wisconsin.
Okay.
All of Dennis Miller's scenes were filmed in one day, which kind of makes sense.
I knew that.
Feel that.
Huh.
They felt consistent.
Yeah. So various VHS titles had a preview for this movie, and they titled it The Adventures of Joe Dirt.
The Adventures of Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
Dirtay.
Dirtay. Don't try to church it up.
It's Dirtay.
So, the last scene one. In which Joe, while working at the quarter toss booth at the carnival, sprays the place down with Pam is a reference to his 1998 stand-up special, Take the Hit, in which he joked about trying to make a quarter land on a plate sprayed with Pam at the carnival. I didn't even know he had a comedy special.
I didn't either. That's a deep pull.
Who, David Spade?
Yeah. Where he did
he's come here once. He went to Wise Guys.
He's been here quite a few times, actually.
Last time I know he went here to Wise Guys, it was just a one-night show. I wanted to go check it out, but I didn't get a chance to.
I think usually once a year for the last 5 or 6 years he's come here, if not longer than that.
Well, I'm actually like impressed. Like the last couple of years, like Wise Guys has been actually like we had Marc Maron like fucking last week, which was a great show.
They're killing me. You know what they're killing me with is they're putting posters up or leaving posters up from like last year or something, but they don't have the year on them. So I got all excited. I thought Joe Coy was coming to town at the end of this month.
That's why you know.
And he's not. Which
they've got
a big Joe Coy fan.
I mean, they've also got posters from Mitch Hedberg's tour, and he's not coming.
No, I think that's just
soon.
To you know show off the people.
What? He's not coming back?
Anyways,
what happened?
Anyways,
he is a great Mitch Hedberg.
Oh yeah, of course. I saw him at when I first started out. It was at the old It was the old Moe's downtown.
For real?
Yeah.
I am so jet like. The bad thing is I didn't know a lot about Mitch Hedberg until I actually got way into comedy. And by then, he was
the thing is
gone.
With him. I look at him and go, that dude is one of the purest joke writers I've ever seen, and he is one of those guys. I always tell people, comedians just see the world through a different set of glasses. He saw it through a different set.
Yes.
Like, the way he viewed the world was so different than everybody else's that he could create strangeness comedy out of stuff, everyday stuff, that you see every single day, but he saw it through a different set of eyes.
It almost seemed like it was so bizarre and so simple at the same time. Like, it was just so terrific.
And to consider how terrified he was, like, he did all his stuff with his hair in front of his eyes, and then finally he went to the glasses, but he would put his hair in front of his face so he couldn't see the crowd. A guy that writes jokes that good, but is terrified to be on stage to say them is
interesting. Well, no disrespect to Mitch Hedberg. Let's get back to finishing Joe Dirty.
Put the coup de grace on Joe Dirty here.
So Kid Rock's character's name is Robbie. Kid Rock's real name is Robert Ritchie, which you never know. I never fucking...
Robert
hate.
Ritchie?
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like I knew that
That's
from an
Eminem song.
It's
the whitest name on the planet.
So Joe Dirt character is actually loosely based on Spade's childhood friend Ryan Taylor, which... If that's the case, I fucking would love to see the
meet
real
that
guy.
Dude.
Hopefully, he gets some royalties or something out of that. Hopefully, he at least throws him a bone or a house or something.
Like, what, defamation or something like that?
Nah, I mean, I think it's glorification, if anything.
Yeah, it's royalties.
If your friend is so cool that you can fucking write a movie about him and everyone loves it, and we talk about it 15 years later,
just say we can get a bigger buck, man. You know, or the bigger EBT, whatever.
So here's for our final fun fact. It's actually a nice little local trivia.
Oh.
The scene where young Joe Dirt is left behind by his parents at the Grand Canyon was actually not the Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona, but rather was Utah Scenic Dead Horse Point State Park.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
No, bring it to Utah to bring in the budget.
Beating a dead horse with this Joe Dirt trivia.
I guess that Grand Canyon shot was they wanted too much money for it. Go low budget, go to Utah.
We can hold up the traffic for 2 days, so we're going to go to Utah.
We'll film it on a Sunday when nobody's out and about.
Speaking of beating a dead horse with something, our next movie and final movie is the 2010 horror comedy fantasy
Horrible?
Rubber.
It was a horror movie is what they categorized it as.
Horror fantasy comedy is what it's
called. Horror to watch. Horrible?
No, horror as in fantastic, because everything that Magnet puts out is amazing.
What did they put out?
John Dies at the End, ABC's of Death. Dude, I told you about these things so long ago. I also told you I'd let you borrow them, and then I think this is the first time I've seen you since then. Can I give the premise?
No, we have to give Christopher James. He's rubbing his head. He's got to fathom this. He's fathoming a head.
He's so upset
because I was aware of this movie before you mentioned it, and I've never wanted to watch it. And when you told me Rubber, I'm like, okay, this is probably going to be one of his favorites out of these.
Condom with an STD gets his revenge. Nope, not the movie.
No, that's just your Saturday.
That'd have been a better movie.
So when I saw this, I'm like, okay, fuck. If I'm bringing KG on, we've got to talk about this shitty fucking movie.
Hey, now, it's a great movie.
Well, it's weird. It's very weird. It never really shows how the tire came to life.
It very well did at the very beginning. Well, the tire started off on its side, buried in dirt. And then it slowly kind of worked its way to be able to stand up, and then it would try to take a walk or a roll and then fall over. So then it had to learn to walk, essentially, like going through its infancy
stages. So basically you're saying that tires will eventually evolve, become sentient.
There you go. Yeah, they become sentient.
It never showed what made it came to being to,
it never explained
to do
it either.
That. To do as such.
What made us came to be able to do that?
Dude, I'm not talking to you, stupid monkey person.
I'm just saying... Sometimes you got to throw all reality out the window and just enjoy a ridiculous movie, and that is 100% what this
sometimes
is.
Sometimes you definitely do.
And it is fantastic.
You need
to think
hardcore
that,
drugs to watch this movie.
Hey, well, come over and let's watch this movie. But to think that there is a God Thor with a hammer that can make lightning or however the fuck the fable goes, but to not be able to accept that there could be a tire that could learn how to walk and talk and roll and explode people's fucking brains with its tire mind.
Because it's got like psychic powers and it could...
Yeah.
Telekinesis, man.
Yeah, it's badass.
Here's why I get upset.
About to explain that.
They couldn't get endorsement for that tire to be branded.
Well, so what it was, if they would have got with Bridgestone, they would have had to put Bridgestone on the people's heads because that's what was blowing up. Bam! 2000 reference.
Well, it's weird. You know what it reminds me of? And this is a movie that I actually enjoy that I'm referencing. It reminds me of a movie called Black Sheep.
Oh, God, with the zombie sheep?
Yes.
The radioactive zombie sheep. It's I own that movie, and we need to watch it, girlfriend. It's so great.
It is actually really good. And I had some moments in this movie where I laughed, because oddly enough, the tire's in love. Like, he's obsessed with this girl, and he keeps trying to get her, and then...
Oh, when they get to the hotel, that's way late. You were asleep during
that.
When
the tire watches her in the shower?
That's way late in the movie. Yeah, that's near the end when the cops start to put it all together.
Tires jerking
but like
off.
Like I say, at the beginning, it figures out how to walk and roll and get along, and it stumbles and trips and falls, and then it starts to get the hang of it. And then I don't remember the first thing that it blew up. Was it a bottle? And
no, it was like
there was a crow or
a
raven
crow,
or
and then
something.
It was like a bottle, then
the crow pissed it
so
off.
So like the first, it was rolling, and then the bottle was in its way, and it couldn't get past it, so it exploded the bottle to get beyond it. So it was like a roadblock. And then,
are you talking rubber?
Yeah.
No. It rolled past it. It was pissed that it couldn't blow it up, and then it used its telekinetic powers.
And blew it up. But then, as it kind of got to the bird, the crow or the raven, whatever kind of bird
it was,
I think that it blew it up just for fun.
Yeah.
And that's where you really start to see, like, the
dark side
sadist,
of the tire.
You really start seeing
the rubber
it realizes
take shape in the shape of a tire.
The
right?
realizes yeah. its power at that moment and decides to use it for evil.
And it just start killing for fun.
Yeah.
Dark.
What was that cop scene, too, where they, like, the cops pull over and he just blows the cop's head up for no apparent reason.
Because
I think that
it
was
a
generalization, which
fuck the police
was
coming
thinking
straight
at some point in time.
Well, and then you also have the weird interluding story where people in the desert watching
the audience,
the movie,
yeah,
and they're kind of seeing it, but then someone's trying to poison like everybody.
They're trying to poison them with the turkey and like those weird shitty girls. Like if you go to a movie, like those shitty like 13-year-old little white girls were like, I feel like they were kind of an ode to like the black people in a movie theater
because
not to be hacky, you know, everybody says
like it,
but these two little teenage girls wouldn't shut the fuck up. They were like, what's the tire doing? Can we have some food? Can we
hashtag
have some water?
Tire lives matter.
Hashtag tire lives matter.
Did you watch your own movie, man? Those girls, if anything, symbolize everyone else in the theater saying, shut up, we're watching a movie. And everyone else who was not of any kind of orientation were the ones that were like, oh, we're blah, blah, blah. No.
I don't know. I think those girls went back and forth. They were both, I see what you're saying, and I can agree with it.
You don't see what I'm saying!
The girls... at times they were the shitty, chit-chatty, annoying, shitty girls, and then at other times they were like, wait, what is going on here?
Turkey.
So it kind of goes back and forth. I just think all in all, and you know what, I didn't think I was going to get this happy talking about this movie, but this movie is fucking awesome.
This is a movie I would trick people into watching if I wanted to make them angry with me.
Did it work?
I will in the future. Like when I have a go-to movie I want to piss people off, I'm going to go, you know what you really should see if you haven't seen it? Rubber, man. You should really go check that out.
Well, one thing I found like kind of interesting about this movie is
mad as shit.
When they're trying to like go ahead and trick the tire into, you know, basically to killing it, they do like a little mannequin and they have it like strapped with everything and they're hoping that the tire tries to blow the chick's head off and it doesn't go off.
Set off a bomb or whatever.
Okay, for the record, really quick, this is the point. I tried to watch it last night. I made it to the point where the poolside cops interrogating the hotel owner, motel owner,
yeah,
blows his head up.
When the
And then that's where I fell asleep.
YouTube took over, and I woke up to 10 things I hate about you, leading into how to lose a guy in 10 days. So,
and now rubber is one of the 10 things you hate about
me. Something I have to finish, but nonetheless, Christopher James knows more than I do. So back to you.
So did you see the part where the shitty hotel owner dad was like telling the kid, like, fuck you, go get me a pizza.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then, like, he was trying to be nice to the tire. And he's like, Dad, I swear, this tire is killing things. I seen it trying to fucking rape this girl in the shower or whatever. And the dad's like, shut up, stupid. Go get pizza.
The only thing that could have made this movie better is if there was a tire girl sex scene.
And they didn't use a rubber.
No.
Or even funnier would be funny if he did use a rubber. He just like paste a wide open rubber on the edge of it.
I'm going to shred the bejesus out of you.
Why all these skid marks on these sheets?
Yeah, there you go. Nice one.
Perfect.
Why aren't there skid marks? Because I never stopped.
Skid marks is pretty fantastic.
So it's weird, too, the way, like, jumping ahead to how this movie ends is there's more tires, which I thought was weird. So does it...
Now I get to finish the movie.
It's weird. Like, I don't get it. Like, it's they try to light the thing on fire, if memory serves me right, and...
I hope that they don't try to make a part two, simply because I think that part one was so fantastic and so bizarre and so terrific.
Yeah, don't ruin that.
Like, don't fuck it up, because you're going to try to make a part two, and you're going to try to make it more weird and more bizarre, and it's just going to – it would become a caricature.
Kind of like Joe Dirt 2.
Whoa.
And see, fuck, so maybe I don't want to watch Joe Dirt 2.
Yeah, don't watch it.
No reason.
No reason what?
No
to
reason.
Make a sequel?
To watch Joe Dirt. No reason to watch Joe Dirt 2?
No reason.
So, very much... So just like my girlfriend, just like Rose was saying, is I suckered her into watching the movie by selling her on the fact that there's no point to the movie. It's just a movie for fun. And that's exactly what it is. If you just want to watch a silly-ass movie that's just for fun, that has no point, that's really bizarre, but first off, don't watch it stoned.
Yeah, what? I don't think anybody should.
I think if you watch it stoned, you'll be even more confused
bad
than necessary.
Trip. I don't think you'll miss anything.
Well, you might, though. I don't know.
Maybe I should watch it a second time because maybe it's got that Napoleon Dynamite effect where the first time I watched Napoleon Dynamite, I hated it. And every successive time I watched it,
yeah,
I loved it more and more.
I still hate Napoleon Dynamite. I've tried to watch it 3 times, and every time I just hate myself more. Like, I can't stand it.
That's a movie that's weird for no reason to be weird.
It is absolutely the worst movie ever
it
written.
It grows on you. You know what's a weird thing about that is the porn version, Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay, well, now I might be interested.
Now you've sold me. I'm back
fucking
in.
Weird.
Wait. Is the guy's name John Heder?
I don't remember.
Instead of Heder.
But the opening credits to the porn is like that. If you guys go back to an episode with Amber Ames, Awkward High School Movies.
Napoleon Dynamite?
Napoleon Dynamite, yeah.
Have you done a show about porn yet?
That would be great.
No.
Why the fuck did we not do the one about porn?
You what, couldn't get a three porn? Better audience.
Why didn't we do
in
Movie Nerds We Trust about porn? Can we do a Joker's Gone Wild Part 2 where we talk about porn?
We're not going to do porn movies. These are actually movies.
But Movie Nerds like
how
porn.
How dare you, sir? How
I
dare
don't
you,
watch
sir?
Porn.
To call porn not real
bitch,
film in the real cinema.
I don't.
How dare you?
Pull up your web browser. Pull up your web browser. I bet there's a Pornhub icon.
Okay.
We could do things like WDOS Dallas and where the blueprint.
No, Let me see.
I choked Linda Lovelace. That's a little too close to Dave Attell's Dave's old porn.
Here, right here. Bam.
No, if we do the old stuff.
Son of a bitch.
I'd rather do the...
UTA, Wise Guys, yeah, Pokemon, and the Muppets. Yeah. There is no porn.
Yep. Current. I don't know.
So,
not the Gonzo. Hey, look, how about Gonzo, John?
Going back to this movie...
Bringing it back in.
So
look at that. Pornhub. Only icon on there.
And you're the only one here with in a relationship, yet you have Pornhub.
It's a Pornhub app.
David's got a wife sometimes.
Exactly. Anyways. I wouldn't even have thought of this or heard of this movie before you mentioned it until, like, there's this thing on, like, Watch Mojo's, like, weird horror movie, like, top 10 list. And this was on it. And that's the only reason why I heard about it before you mentioned it was on that. And I'm like, when he said rubber, I was like, oh, fuck. I remember hearing about that movie and seeing some weird clips. And I'll be honest, this movie has some really great shots of the tire just going down the street, the tire moving on its own, stuff like that. Like, it's shot really well.
The special effects. Great. The special effects are killer because you can tell it's definitely an independent film.
Sure.
Relatively low budget.
Yeah.
But they just piece it together really nicely. It's really hard to tell. There's a couple of parts where you can see the fishing line.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't notice it the first two times I watched it, but the last time I watched it with Rose, the only time she's watched it, I was like, oh, look right there. And I hate when I start to do that. Or another thing I hate is when we're watching a movie and I'm like, oh, that person. What are they from? They're from everything, but I can't think of who they are. Oh my gosh, and I do it all the time, and she gets so mad at me.
You know, no, I sometimes do that. That's why, like, I'll pull up IMDb as I'm watching the movie, bring up the cast, click on that person, and then boom.
I do that while we're watching like every movie.
Well, I really don't care. The point is that
okay,
there's what fishing wire to make it jiggle.
Yep. You can see it go. You can see the wire.
Here's my question: is IMDb?
You are a DB.
Well, you know what? F-U-C-Y-K-N-U. Where has this tire also been in another movie? Bam. Simple.
This tire was in Mad Max, bitch.
The tire doesn't have, like...
Nope.
Yeah, where's the tire's IMDb credits?
You know what?
Where else has the tire been? Is he in, like, Gone in 60 Seconds?
Let's see.
This is actually a brilliant... This is actually a brilliant thought from a drunken mind. That is,
you know what?
Gone in 60 Seconds, it was one of the tires in Maximum Overdrive, the weird movie about cars and trucks taking over.
It had to go to rehab after Paul Walker crashed his car.
Yeah. Fast and Furious.
It was a little burnt out.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, man. You should
be too soon.
The fucking room and forgotten
about. Not soon enough.
Was it a burnout or did it blow out? There's a difference, man.
It was probably
Miley Cyrus. Or are we talking about, like, you know, like
he
Vince
was in
Vaughn.
The came in like a wrecking ball video. That's what she's swinging on.
You know where this tire probably got its start is a tire swing on Cider House Rules.
There you go.
It's a boy
or Dawson's
Swarm.
Creek.
Oh shit!
Improvement.
Little known, he got his start as a tree swing in Dawson's Creek.
America, I want to ask you,
dude,
how can we track this tire? Tire's credit.
Trier.
Oh,
that was okay. So one of the other things about this movie is no reason is kind of one of the taglines in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I totally missed that earlier, which I know that that's what Rose was kind of hinting at least I think. I could be wrong. He keeps saying to the audience outside the film, they're like, why is this happening? Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, no reason. And he just keeps really calmly reiterating that point. Whenever they inquire, why is this going on? Why is this happening? What's going on? No reason.
No,
it's kind of peaceful and serene the way that he keeps saying no reason.
As a comedian, I kind of like that. I kind of like the
you don't need the reason.
I'm not going to pander to the crowd. This is a piece of art.
Why is
it
happening?
Take it as it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And that's kind of sweet.
And that's what I like. Initially, like when it came down to it, it set it up. You knew what you're getting into. So after you watch like the first 5-10 minutes. If you watch beyond that, it's like, you know what? You sign the permission slip. You're in for the long haul.
Take the ride.
And I was okay with that. And if anything else, like, I'll make it through the rest of the movie. Like I said, I fell asleep about halfway through because I had heard day's night. But I would dare say, like, our army vet guy, the one's like, I'm going to stay up and we're going to watch my movie. I'm going to make sure, you know. I owe it to him. And I'm really curious.
I want to get a
patriotic. He owes it to all
these
soldiers with PTSD. Wow, he stays up and watches Rubber.
Am I really that bad when I talk?
No, it's your boyishly handsome looks make me look past it.
Oh, well, nonetheless.
All right.
I'm trying to abide by. But no. Like I said, I want to finish this movie. I will finish this movie.
It's like, as much as I'm shitting on it, it's not that bad because...
No, it's bad.
They use practical effects, which I think is nice.
Yeah.
They could have CGI'd the tire instead of doing a fishing line.
No, that budget.
I thought that they did it really good.
Yeah.
KG, you're a ginger. No one cares what you say.
So here's the thing. I Googled what other movies has the tire from rubber been in.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Shenanigans.
And Wally found something.
Do it.
While it pulled up zero results, it did take me to a website called Kinja.com, and it says an even weirder film from the maker of the Psychic Killer Tire movie. So I'm interested where this goes. So the cult hit Rubber had the good news to open with a direct pronouncement of its philosophy, no reason, repeated again and again. So what's the it's no, it's little blurbs between each fucking picture. I hate,
it is.
Oh, here we go.
No, you just clicked on it.
You clicked on a different article.
In the pantheon of shitty movies, this is not the shittiest.
Okay, I'm going to throw a veto out really quick.
Here's what you want to do.
I'm throwing a veto out.
He's showing me how to work a phone. Hold on.
No, not even that. It's,
oh, that was John Dice. Oh, never mind.
Christopher James is supposed to be running it, and he's touching your phone.
He's playing in my lap.
Yep.
He's fingering. He is. He's fingering your. Your
rose.
Son of a bitch. Oh, there we go.
That's the actual article that you're.
That you're trying to find.
Trying to watch. Okay, so Steven Spinella's blah blah blah. See, but with his second film, we have to do the work ourselves. What's it called? Oh, it's called Wrong. Okay, so we need to watch a movie called Wrong.
I think I've seen that.
I will gladly watch it because I have watched a lot of Wrong movies. A Serbian film is at the top of the list of the wrongest movies I have ever watched in my life.
I brought Wrong up on IMDb. It's Dahl Springer wakes up one morning to realize he has lost the love of his life, his dog, Paul. During his quest to get Paul and his life back, Dolph radically changes the lives of others, risks his sanity, and it looks weird as shit.
Yeah. Let's watch it. What's it called? Wrong?
It's got Steve Little, who's the guy from Eastbound and Down.
Oh, you can't go wrong there.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. You said Eastbound and Down. I was like...
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not a.
I'm gonna stop right there.
I'm not a fan.
That's a great show.
I'm not a fan of the main guy on that show.
Oh, Daniel McBride.
Not a fan of Danny McBride. And pretty much everything he's been in, I don't care for him.
That's sad.
It's okay. That's why you're an immigrant and you don't know any better.
Wow. Thanks, Trump. I didn't know we had a special guest, Donald Trump, here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Build a wall.
Why don't you build the wall to your mother's bedroom 10 feet taller?
I'll knock it down with my cat.
I can't do post-haste.
So
I got a trampoline, bitch.
Of sad, there's only two facts about this movie. So.
About Rubber?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, let's fucking
facts.
Read them.
All right. Yeah. So the director, writer, cinematographer, editor, and composer, Quentin Dupieux, is also known as Mr. Ozio.
Is it Dubois?
What?
Dubois?
Crazy Japanese dude.
One of the Spectres is playing by Daniel Quinn, who starred in Scanner Cop as a man who could make people's head explode with his mind, as the tire did in the film. But that's what Scanners did.
Wow.
I feel like I had this pulled up on here, and here, but I feel like mine showed a lot more little quirks about that.
I'm going to let David talk for a moment.
Yeah, do it. Tear it up.
David, tear it up.
For what? What are we talking about?
talking about
the random facts from this movie.
Speaking of random
things. They weren't
things,
good ones.
But there's a movie from 1936 called
Rubber. There is nobody in this
Rubber.
Cast that I recognize.
No, it's super art house.
Oh, no,
house.
You wouldn't.
It's super art house. This is totally.
Like a new porn.
No, and I like
it's
I like
a French
that
movie, right, but done in English.
There we go.
Yeah, it's a French art house flick that's done in English.
Roxanne chick, she's also in some random movies that I've never seen either.
So,
wow.
I'm all for exposing people to things that mess with their minds. So,
like your penis?
That's why I like, yes, exactly. And my penis.
Mess with their minds or bring some shit.
But so I'm for that. That's what I do like about it. I do like stuff that will mess with people's consciousness a bit and maybe make them walk around and go, what did I just watch? Why did I do that? So I'm for that positively. But overall, I gotta go, man. That movie is rough. It's rough to watch.
Well, so you gotta go or what now? You're sitting next to me right now, and I think we're about ready for a go.
We're wrapping up.
Wrap it up.
So
off to the titty bar.
What we like to do at the end of the podcast is I have everybody choose their favorites. But since this is kind of a mix of all three of you guys' stuff, we're going to go ahead and have everybody tell why they chose this film. So, Marcus, you chose Royal Tenenbaums. Why did you choose that one?
Okay, I chose Royal Tenenbaums initially, honestly, the way it was.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Because I like the pastels in it. I like the way it depicts rich life in a very post-dated functional format and big words I don't know how to use, but I also do enjoy the fact that you can have everything you want. My Mexican mama will take care of me, and my pastor daddy will cast you to hell if we can roll the dice right.
God, I just want to give you a hug and a coloring book. Yes. So bad, right?
I want to hug his penis roll with my mouth.
Okay, David, why did you choose Joe Dirt?
Because it's got a line in it where he says, "Luckily, my neck broke my fall." No, actually, it was because I listed off a bunch of other really cool movies that I'm a big fan of, like Fight Club and Training Day and some other stuff. But it's all films that you've done before. So then I was like, "Oh man, I'm reduced to going into my CD collection or my DVD collection, flipping it open." And I was like, "What do I really love? What do I really love?" And then boom, Joe Dirt came up. I was like, "Yes, got to watch Joe Dirt again. We'll pull that in." So I'm actually getting a blowjob now.
No, you're not. Gross.
He did. I seen it.
No, actually, I just, like I said, there's so many great moments of it. This movie has, when it comes to comedies, I watch every comedy that comes out, whatever. Just watch Wedding Day, Me Wedding Dates, all that stuff. I love those movies. This one had everything in it. Beautiful women, great soundtrack, great classic quotable lines that you can use. And it doesn't, it holds up. It doesn't get old. Silly as it ever was when it first came out 15 years ago.
Nice.
Valid point.
Awesome. And
fuck you.
KG, what about you? Why did you choose Rubber?
Well, so I have an unnatural love for terribly, horribly awesome movies. Dating all the way back to trauma films.
Oh, nice.
Anything, you know, the Toxic Avenger, anything like that, Romeo and Juliet. What's that? Rob Zombie, he's way newer, but I like his adaptation of Halloween and stuff like that. But of the movies that I submitted for consideration, being Human Centipede 1 through 3, a Serbian film, Rubber, ABCs of Death, and then I never got back to you on the zombie movie. Because that night I was watching Boy Scouts and Zombies or whatever the fuck it's called.
Oh, yeah.
It was so-so. I was kind of sad because I had wanted to see it for so long, and then I finally saw it. And don't get me wrong, the opening sequence with Blake was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the movie, it was still entertaining. I wasn't sad that I watched it.
I didn't get a chance to finish it.
It just didn't have the oomph that I was hoping it would have. Kind of like...
Drizzled.
Kind of like Pride and Prejudice and zombies. Yeah. Like, if you're going to have zombies in the title of your movie, have a lot more fucking zombies in it, please.
Okay. Well, let's get back to Rubber.
Back to the question. Yeah. So, Rubber. So, I submitted my movies. And if you can tell, you know, Human Centipede 1 through 3, Serbian film, Rubber, ABCs of Death. They are all kind of more, not extremely low budget, but kind of independent films. Fun, shitty movies.
Yeah,
and that's just something that I enjoy. And then ever since hanging out with Mike M a bunch, my love for those kind of movies just kind of grew exponentially. And we used to have many nights where we would just watch these shitty, horrible movies and laugh our fucking dicks off.
Yeah,
and that's all this was just it's a fun, shitty, laugh your dick off movie.
Nice.
And don't put a rubber on your dick.
Oh, my God.
But kids are the worst.
So where can everybody find you guys, follow you guys on social media? We'll start with you, Dave, and then we'll kind of work our way around.
Yeah, because I've got the most hideous comedy name ever, David Young. There's 18 million of us on Facebook. So Young and Funny, if you run that together, Young and Funny on Facebook, you'll find me. We got the show coming up at Big Z's. Excited about that.
23rd Saturday.
Following that is a show at Sandy Station. We'll be rocking that one July 30th. Then I got a show in Brea Improv in LA at the end of
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Marcus, how about you?
All right. Well, we got Christopher James, the host of the In Movie Nerds We Trust podcast. He's going to be with us with David Young, me, KG, and Mike M. Joker's Gone Wild.
And Elizabeth Church.
Oh, Elizabeth Church. She's going to be headlining on the 23rd up there in Ogden. And then on top of that, I am going to be on 2 days before that on... What's 2 days before 23rd? 21st.
21.
21st.
21st.
That's Thursday. In 2 days from now.
Dungeons and Comedy.
Oh, that's their last show down south, right?
Yeah, the
Before
Muse.
They moved to Salt Lake?
Yeah.
I guess they're relocating, yeah.
Yeah, so, from the Muse.
It's going to be a musical comedy, it sounds like, with like me and...
Dowell?
AIDS.
Chris Dowell.
Chris Dowell.
Chris Dowell.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And another gentleman, I don't really know. It's all right. It's all right. I'm reading.
You'll
it.
Get
I'm
to know him it. Without a rubber.
Anyways, aside from that, you can find us on jokersgonewild.org.
Or RG.
Oh, org.
Yeah.
But I'm going to like switch this off to KG.
No.
So what about Facebook,
you got your Facebook
Twitter?
Your Twitter, Snotboy, all that fun stuff?
Yeah, you can find all that. You can find that all that on there. And, you know, I just feel a little modest right now. I'm going to excuse myself.
Okay. KG, how about you?
Well, I am a bit modest mouse myself, but you can find me on the goddamn Facebook at facebook.com/KGTheAwesome, on Twitter at Utah_privilege. What other are there? Oh, yeah, we got jokersgonewild.org. I don't know that we ever set up a Joker's Gone Wild Twitter, which is probably good because who the fuck cares?
No.
You can hear us all right here on In Movie Nerds We Trust.
Well, this episode at least.
On this episode. You know what, though? This has been so much fucking fun.
No,
I'm not even going to lie.
Howard,
I've had
really
a fucking hoot.
Really
I was going to say, it's glad to have you guys on.
David across the pond has learned about social media with the U.S. format, so he has.
I actually have a Twitter account, but I need to think about it. It's at Laugh You Bastard. If you run Laugh You Bastard all together, that's
Laugh funny. You Bastard?
Yeah, all right. Bastard.
That's pretty fantastic.
Nice. And, no, I was going to say, it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad that we got you guys on and had a blast, too.
Even with the technical difficulties, we still managed to pull it out and have some fun. I think Marcus is going to blow Christopher James now.
No, I'm good.
He's just kind of
making
the rounds.
I don't even like blowjobs.
Who doesn't like blowjobs?
I don't. So
why would you not like a blowjob?
It's irrelevant.
Whoa, he's going for the taint.
So you guys, of course, can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/trustyournerds, on Twitter at trustyournerds.
Wow.
And, of course, if you have a movie recommendation or a theme you want to recommend, recommend. I'm getting very attacked
He's
right
getting
now.
Getting very molested. We need to do a porn episode.
Anyways, if you have a recommendation for a movie or a theme, email us at trustyourmovienerds@gmail.com.
Oh, what?
And, of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, Google Play. And also follow our social media to check out when we'll be releasing the merch for the coasters and some other stuff I have coming up. Please leave us a review. Definitely, the more reviews we get on iTunes definitely helps the show. So I want to, of course, thank you guys once again for coming on the show. I had a great time. And, yes.
What if, can we do like an Adult Swim episode where we talk about how much we love Aqua Teen Hunger Force and things like that?
If we did the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie, that counts.
Oh, golly. Why didn't I think of that Aqua Teen Hunger Force colon the movie?
All right, I've been your host, Christopher James.
I'm
KG. Good night, everybody.
Marcus Whistler.